This is the August 20th meeting of the Governance Committee of the Pacific National Board. I'm George Ryder, the chair. I'm going to call the roll. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Cheryl Argamir. Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Lydia Brazan.
Wait. Hi, here.
Hi. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
Gail Dixon. Sasha Futran. Joseph Kay. Lizette King. Bob Lederer.
Here.
R. Paul Martin.
Here.
Brenda Medina.
Here.
Colleen O'Brien. Marcel Reed. George Ryder. Yes. Tracy Rosenberg. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
John Wenger.
Here. And what's the mute code, please?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm here, and just remind me of the mute code. They're all different on different systems.
Okay, it's #1.
Thank you.
Okay, we have 11 members, which is more than the 10 needed for quorum. You all received a copy of the agenda just shortly before the meeting. It's also posted on kpftx.org. And the first meeting, the first item is setting the agenda. Are there any additions or changes to the order or clarifications of the agenda?
Point of information, George?
Yes, Kathy.
Fortunately, I don't have a computer. Would it be possible to read the agenda?
Yeah, sure. It's pretty short. Just a moment.
Point of information, Carolyn?
Yeah.
I saw a notice before asking for motions to be posted. Are there any motions to be considered tonight?
Well, there's a return of a motion to be considered. Tracy had one on unionization that's to be considered. Let me read the agenda. I left out one item. Is someone willing to be the secretary for this evening? Okay, I guess I'll do it then. Approval of agenda, okay, approval of minutes comes up next. A chair's report. I want to report back on what happened with PMB. Reconsideration of motion rate canceling meetings. Bylaws being forwarded by Bill, Lydia, George. I had intended that would be basically essentially announcements of what the bylaws are, but we can discuss them if we want. And unionization at KPFT is motion by Tracy. That's it.
Cue, please. John Wenger.
Yes, John.
Yeah, I just emailed the motion. I meant to send it before I hopped in the shower, but didn't get sent. I basically have a motion that's been sent to the list, to the new list. Sorry, I didn't put it on the Yahoo group as well. Suggesting that we return to the earlier interpretation of the bylaws with regard to the size of PNB committees. I agree that the new interpretation is correct, but it is ungainly, too large. And so I think my motion basically says that PNB committees shall have up to one PNB director and up to two LSB members from each station, just to get the numbers down.
Do you intend that as a bylaws amendment, or what do you want to do?
As a bylaws amendment, because it's a bylaws interpretation that forced the enlargement of the committees.
Okay. So let's put that on. After we mention the ones that we're already forwarding, we can bring that one up for discussion. Is there any objection to that, to placing that there?
Where is that?
It's the second action item, bylaws being forwarded by Bill, Lydia, and George, which I intended to be simply an announcement of what they were.
So after that and before the unionization of KPFT motion?
Yes. Any objection to placing it there? Okay, good. Any other changes to the agenda?
Just this is Bob, point of information.
Yeah.
Can Bill post a list, that motion about the chair canceling meetings?
Did he find it?
Yeah, I sent it about 5 minutes ago. I haven't seen it come through yet.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay. But
keep checking. And I'll send my bylaws amendments again to the list, too. I'm about to do that.
Okay. Oh, and can Tracy send her motion?
Tracy had sent it to me, but I couldn't find it. Tracy, do you have it available?
I'm sorry, George, did you ask me something?
Yeah, I couldn't find the motion that you'd sent. Can you resend it to the governors?
Can find it, I will, yes.
Okay.
Point of information?
Yes.
Did I miss it, or did you read the whole agenda?
I did. Shall I read it again?
I guess so, because I somehow...
Okay. So,
the new motion.
We're on approval of the agenda. After that is approval of the minutes, a chair's report, reconsideration of motion, rate canceling meetings, bylaws being forwarded by Bill, Lydia, George, and we had an addition by John Wanger of another bylaw exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Unionization at KPFT, which is Tracy's, and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so is there any other changes to the agenda? Any other?
Well, at the end you have action items and an adjourn at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So, hearing no objections, let me move to the chair's report. We had two motions that we forwarded from the committee. The first one was initiated by our poll, and it was a motion to clarify that that an individual couldn't call an LSB meeting, that the chair presumably was who was being spoken about, but no individual member could call an LSB meeting. The motion was brought up in the PNB, and it failed, not by a large margin, but a lot of people abstained. I'm sorry I don't have the exact vote for you, but it, essentially the objection was, what do we need this for? It's already in the bylaws. We shouldn't have to pass a motion for something that's clear enough in the bylaws. And I argued that, well, it may be clear enough in the bylaws, but it's not being acted on, so it would be a good idea if the PNB said something about it, but that didn't carry the day, and so that motion was rejected. Any comments about that or any questions about that?
Question?
Yeah, Harpal.
Okay, so basically they said they voted against because it was unnecessary because it already basically says that.
Yes.
All right, well, I guess that's kind of a ruling. That's a kind of a back-of-the-hand ruling out of the PNB then. Okay.
Yeah. It is. It could be taken that way. Yes. Any other questions about that?
John for the cube.
Yeah, John. Good.
You know, the fact that this is even a discussion suggests to me that it might be desirable to add some, commentary to the bylaws. I agree that the bylaws are clear, but not everybody is a good bylaw reader. And so maybe some little notes would be attached that the PNB looked at this. You know, it was been suggested that the such and such motion, but it was turned down because it's unnecessary. It's in the bylaws. If you read it carefully, it means blah, 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 and that sort of stuff. The other thing is that often when dealing with bylaws, it's not clear what the rationale is. So I think that bylaws would be better if they were, if rationales were added to them in some way, not necessarily integrated within them, because then they get too big, but perhaps with hyperlinks or, you know, a commentary or something to indicate why the bylaws were done, because this preserves historical memory. Some of these things were changed 10 years ago, and now we don't know why they were, and we're trying to reinvent rules. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments on this?
our Paul fast?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, if that were, there could be commentaries, but I would really hope that they would be totally unofficial and maybe not even on the PNB list or something, because anytime you have a bylaw there and then you have something else written about it that's official, now you're going to have people arguing that part. I've seen this type of thing metamorphose from what's written in a bylaw or some enabling motion to the commentary, and the commentary becomes suddenly the bylaw as it's interpreted differently because it's not written as stringently as the bylaw is. So a commentary would be fine, but I think it would be something that would have to be, somehow unofficial so that we don't have somebody, raise a ruckus semicolon in the commentary reversing the entire bylaws thing by 180 degrees or something.
John for the queue.
Okay.
I think the first commentary should be, the commentaries are unofficial. The purpose is only to provide guidance and interpretation of the bylaws. The bylaws have to be read as they are written, and the purpose of a rationale is to provide historical memory. The purpose of a clarifying note is to say that such and such motion was considered inappropriate to change the bylaws because the bylaws already said it. And you can, if you read carefully, it says it right here. So clarification is the whole point. The clarification needs, clarifying notes need to be with the bylaws. If you're going to publish a reference book, you put the references, at the bottom of the chapter or at the end of the book. You don't put them in a different book. They have to be associated with the bylaws where they can be found. Otherwise, they're not useful.
Ken to the stack.
Can I go to the stack, please?
Okay, Ken and then Kathy. Okay, Ken. Ken, you're on the stack. You're first.
I know. I had a trouble getting off the mute.
Okay.
Isn't there an agenda, or are we just going through philosophical tomes? Don't you have something, motions, or something to discuss? I heard was a motion was voted down by the PNB. Now you're asking people, what do they think about it?
I'm asking
don't
if they
have
any
business to do.
I asked if they had any questions about the motion that was voted down by the PNB.
Business that's already been finished. It's business.
I'm reporting back to them about what happened by this body. This body passed a motion and sent it to the PNB. I think they're entitled to ask questions of me as to what happened.
Okay, then you don't have any business to conduct. Okay, thank you.
Kathy?
Yes, thank you. Well, I guess my question was, in light of the fact that the PNB said that the bylaws are clear on this issue, should someone on the LSB call a meeting at one person, would that mean that that meeting is not an official meeting?
Yes.
And no one is obliged to attend?
Yes.
And anything that would be voted on there would not be?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I would like to move on. I think John's suggestion is an interesting and probably good one, but we don't have a motion to implement it, and I don't really see any procedure for implementing it at the moment. So I'd like to move on to the second motion that we proposed, which was returned to the committee. So it was returned for consideration by the committee, and this was, which I hope you've received by now, a motion that Lydia initiated. It was in response to two committee meetings that were canceled by the chairs, one of which I did, and it set up a procedure for canceling meetings. It was returned to the committee. Carolyn asked, what does Robert Rules say about this? Shouldn't we follow Robert's rules if it's if it has a procedure for canceling committee meetings, and I didn't know, and so it was essentially returned on that basis. I have looked at Robert's rules. I can't find anything other than what I sent to you just a few moments ago at 8:31 p.m., which says it is the duty of the chairman to call the committee together, but if he is absent or neglects or declines to call a meeting of the committee, it is the duty of the committee to meet on the call of any two of its members. So, that's what's in Robert's rules. What would the committee like to do with that? So the motion's been referred back to us. That was the reason why it was referred back to us. Do we want to return it? Do we want to amend it?
This is Lydia.
Okay. Good, Lydia.
I'm sorry. Did you say you sent this out? Sent out the wording from Robert? Or
yes, I did at 8:31 p.m.
Okay, I don't have it. Did anyone else receive it?
I got
it.
Forward motion on committee cancellation.
Yeah,
yeah, from proposal.
But what I'm asking is, did we get the George's wording from Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, I got it about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, I got
it. It was sent to the GovList.
Okay.
I'll read it again if you want. It's fairly short.
Yes, if you don't mind, because I don't see it.
It is the duty of the chairman to call the committee together. But if he is absent or neglects or declines to call a meeting of the committee, it is the duty of the committee to meet on the call of any two of its members. That's all I was able to find.
George, Brenda on the stack?
We'll take a stack on that. Who is that said that?
Brenda.
Go ahead, Brenda.
Is it possible for us to get the reference area of where you got it in Roberts? Because I would like to section.
I could. I can't get it to you quickly. I don't actually have my printed copy. I've got it.
Okay. This is Lydia.
Finish responding to Brenda.
Okay.
So I guess the short answer is I can't get it for you quickly. If you give me a minute, I'll bring it up. I looked it up online, so I can probably bring it up that way.
Okay.
And go ahead, Lydia.
I think that addresses the issue. I mean, we know what the situation that came up on two committees, and so it says if the chair can't make it, then you move ahead with at least the two, I think, as I said it. So I'm fine with withdrawing my motion as long as we can send this out once you get the citation to the board so that everyone is aware of that rule. Unless you're looking for it,
I found it. It's Article 9, Committees and Boards, and it's in Section 52. It's the second paragraph. Now, this is the online version. As I say, I don't have with me the latest.
Yeah.
But it's probably the same. I doubt that it's changed.
This
is Tracy. Bob.
Let's see. I heard Tracy and then Bob.
R. Paul for stack.
And then R. Paul. Anyone else?
Hi, George. This is Lizette.
Oh, hi, Lizette. Glad you could make it.
Sorry, I'm just leaving the meeting. I don't know. Is there anything that I need to know? I'm walking to the train station.
We're discussing the motion about what to do when the chair cancels a meeting. Or won't.
Okay. I'll listen.
Okay. So, Tracy.
Okay, two things. I mean, first, it's worth noting that it seems the personnel committee on Wednesday was unilaterally canceled by the chair. I just got a note. The other thing that I would add is, you know, Robert's rules doesn't trump our bylaws. And if you go to our bylaws, it says that committee meetings are governed by Article 6 of our bylaws. And that's the one that's about meetings of the national board. And it doesn't really talk about canceling meetings per se, but it does in fact say that meetings are set by a majority of the committee. And it does say that any two members can call a meeting. So presumably what that means is that if a chair doesn't want to meet, that two members can call a meeting and say that they do want to meet. And if they can meet quorum, they can meet quorum. And if they can't, they can't. So I guess the issue is, since this is in our bylaws, what exactly are we passing a motion for? Because it seems to me that this is governed by Article 6 of our bylaws. Same rules apply as apply to the National Board as a whole. And if the chair cancels a meeting and the members of the committee want to have a meeting anyway and can achieve quorum, they're free to do so. And so I'm not quite sensing what we're passing a motion about. It seems to me that it's on the members of the committee, if they don't want a meeting to be canceled, not to cancel it.
This is Lydia.
I'll put you on the stack, Lydia. I have a question for Tracy. What's in the bylaws is for the PNB, and it has things like the chair can call a meeting, or
if you go to the section on committees, it says very specifically that meetings of Pacifica National Board committees are governed by Article 6 of the bylaws. The rules are the same.
But the rules aren't. Two members of the PNB can't call a meeting.
Three directors, in fact, can call a meeting.
Three directors can, but not two.
So why would it be two? It should be three, because that's what our bylaws say. And we can't pass a motion obstructing our bylaws. In other words, this is covered under Article 6. Article 6 applies. That's what the bylaws say. Unless we're making a bylaws amendment, this motion is functionally useless.
Okay. Next on the stack is Bob.
I'll pass for now.
Next on the stack is R. Paul.
Yeah, well, some of what I was going to say has been said, but I'll reference another part of the bylaws. You're supposed to be going by the latest, Robert, and I don't think that's online unless you're paying a lot of money for the access. and the Roberts I know online is 1915.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to do. It's 97 years old. There have been some changes. You have to quote out of the actual book. And right now, the actual book is now the 11th edition, not the 10th edition. So we all have to watch out for that. Just saying. Okay, bye-bye.
Lydia.
The issue of who calls the meeting is not in question here. As we know, we have a calendar. We set these are the preset meetings. So in the both cases that came about on two committees, this was one of them, the other was the election, the chair canceled the meeting. So then it's on the calendar as having been canceled. And by the way, Tracy, we did decide on personnel to postpone the personnel committee. You weren't on the call at that point. But nevertheless, so that's what this is addressing, is that let's say the chair can't attend. That isn't sufficient reason to cancel the meeting is the whole point. So this particular rule in Roberts specifically addresses the cancellation of the meeting versus who can convene a meeting, although they can be related. As that particular article, whether it's 1915 or not, it sounds actually good, and I would withdraw my motion in favor of the wording that was in some version of Roberts as my motion. Because that makes sense. So that is just to resolve the particular situations that we're in right now.
Okay, so I hear, unless I hear some objection to that, Lydia, do you want to make that as a motion?
I will make that as a motion, but I don't have your wording yet through, so whoever has
just
to speak that wording.
Yeah. No, the blue would have taken us too. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who's speaking?
Point of personal privilege.
It's a longer rule thing.
I'm sorry. Who asked for a point of personal privilege? Go ahead, Arpo.
Lydia's. For me, Lydia's last thing was very distorted and very hard to hear. So if there's a motion, I haven't really heard.
The motion is that we adopt, I don't even actually know that it's necessary as a motion, but we're supposed to be operating by Robert's rules, but clearly it's a question as to how to do it. And so the motion is that we adopt the statement in Robert's rules to the effect that if the meeting is canceled by the chair or isn't going to be called by the chair, that any two members can then call the meeting and conduct the meeting. That's the motion as I understand it from Lydia.
This is Bob.
Arpal for a stack then.
Okay. Bob and then Arpal.
Yeah, I disagree with that way of proceeding. I think the motion that we passed was an important case. It's actually like the one we discussed a few minutes ago about LSB members canceling meetings or calling meetings rather, where you know I think the bylaws kind of make it clear that that's not allowed in terms of the committee chair canceling a meeting. But this motion was intended to say, since this has happened by people who think that they're following the bylaws, we want a clear statement of policy that this is not allowed by the bylaws and that Robert's Rules section does not address it. It's not, to me, it's totally inadequate to say, well, if the chair cancels it, then two members can just take the initiative and say, well, no, we want it after all. It's very disruptive. It's confusing. You know, when people see that first motion, first email from the chair, they'll change their calendars and say, okay, well, it's off. You know, I'll do something else that night. So I don't think a chair should have that authority, and there's nothing in the bylaws that gives her or him such authority. So I think our motion was correct as rendered initially, and maybe we should just re-explain it more thoroughly when we report it back to the PMB. But I don't see anything flawed in it, and it fills a gap.
Do you want to move to substitute that for Lydia's motion?
Yes.
No, Lydia will withdraw her. I mean, that was the motion that was original, the original motion. So I'm just going to withdraw the Robert's Rules language because I do think it's probably clear that I'm rereading it.
You can't do it. It's already on the floor. But we can discuss either one or both with the way it's set up with Bob making that a substitute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Paul.
This is a point of order.
Can barely hear you.
Yeah. Okay, can you hear me now?
Hardly, but yes.
Really? Wow. Oh,
that's better.
Wow, I'm booming over here. The point
that's
of
better.
Order is that if the entire assembly consents, the motion can be withdrawn.
That's
so
true.
If nobody objects to it, it can be withdrawn. That hasn't really been worded yet.
It seems to me that that we have perhaps not a very clear statement of what the initial motion was, but I think the sense of the action involved is clear. Does anyone? I'll take your suggestion. Does anyone object to eliminating that original motion from the discussion? And so that the only thing on the floor will be the question of returning to the PNB, the motion that was that we passed at the last meeting. Does anyone object to doing that? Well, hearing no objection then, the only thing on the floor then is the motion we passed last time. And the only real question is, well, it could be amended, I suppose. Do we want to send that back to the PNB? And what I heard from Bob was that he did, so I'm going to take that as the motion on the floor that we send back the motion we passed last time and say we don't find anything in Robert's rules that's sufficiently substantive to that meets the demand, so to speak, of clarification that we wanted, and so we're returning this motion as it is. Anyone want to speak to that?
I was on stack, so...
Good, Arpul.
All right. First of all, I would like to rehear the motion that we're resending back. I'm not sure entirely that a committee gets to just send it back and say, we reject your rejection. So I'm not sure about that. I'd have to look that up in Roberts very rapidly. It's a strange idea. But I really do need to hear the previous motion that we will be resending to the PNB again.
Well, Bill tried to send it to the Govlers. Has anyone gotten it yet?
I got it.
Okay. I resent it to the Yahoo group because I never got it back from the Govlers.
Okay. So you should have gotten the message.
It is. Okay. Came in.
George, can you ask someone to mute, someone who has a lot of background noise?
Yes. Would anyone who's in a noisy environment please hit pound pound one? Okay.
I would say, reading the thing again, that, this is something... If the PNB has rejected this, I think they've rejected it, and that's it. So.
Well, let me explain why they rejected it. I did already, but let me explain it again. And actually, it was Carolyn's objection, so she's here. She can speak to it. The question was raised, is there something in Robert's rules that makes this unnecessary? And all I've been able to find in the Robert's rules that I have available to me is the sentence that we just read and just took off the floor, so to speak. So at this point, there's nothing in Robert's rules that we think is significantly relevant to supersede the motion that we sent forward. And so it seems to me it makes sense in that case to send it back again and say exactly that. We don't find anything in Robert's rules that we consider supersedes what this motion says or does what this motion intends to do, and we would like you to reconsider this and pass it.
Carolyn, on the staff?
Okay, Carolyn.
Robert's rule is not the final answer. Committees can create rules of procedure that override Robert. Just so people know that, just because it's not in Robert's doesn't mean that we can't do our own protocol. But I'm concerned that I've lost track now. I'm sorry about all the back and forth of what it is that we are refusing to do by sending it back. What it is we're rejecting.
We're not rejecting anything by sending it back. If I understood your question, I don't.
This is Lydia.
But let me try to clarify what Carolyn asked. I'm not quite sure what it was. The situation is we forwarded a motion to the PNB. The PNB sent it back and said, look to see whether there's something in Roberts that makes this unnecessary. We don't think it is. I gather the committee doesn't think it is. No one felt there was no objection to taking out the Roberts rules language. And so we're sending it back to them and say, well, look, we didn't find anything. Here it is. We still think this is necessary. So I think that's where it's at. We can decide to do that or not, but that's what I think the situation is.
Tracy for the stack.
Let's see. I heard Lydia, and then I heard Arpul, and then Tracy. Did I miss anybody?
Some of us have gone once already, so whoever has gone once should go ahead of.
Well, this is true. Everybody's gone once. is there anybody who hasn't gone at all who would like to speak? Okay. Lydia, or Paul, and Tracy.
Okay. So this kind of resolved itself because the PMB was specific. This is what it wanted to know, was the application of Roberts in relation to this motion. So it's not redundancy. We're not, like, rejecting anything the PMB said. We're saying, okay, we checked. There was nothing specific to what addresses the intent and how this whole motion evolved. And so the language was insufficient, so we send it back. So it isn't like we didn't do what they asked, which we checked, and it didn't work. So now here you are.
Okay.
Bob with a sec.
Okay. Gotcha, Bob.
Okay.
Bob, Paul?
So the motion is to resend this thing back to the PNB. And the PNB said, look this up in Roberts. I don't think we've looked this up adequately in Roberts. The chair has looked at an obsolete version online, and certainly the committee has not had the time to ferret its way through the through Roberts on this. So, I mean, I know that at times, in order to find something I know that's in there, I have had to wend my way through three or four references before it gets to the final one, and you need to cite the previous three or four, and then that only then does the final one you get to make sense. So I think that we have not done what the PNB asked us to do, which is to really look and see what's with Roberts, you know, reconcile Roberts in the bylaws with this motion. And so I'm going to move to postpone this motion to the next meeting so that we can actually look this up. And, you know, I mean, it would be rather embarrassing for the entire committee to send it back to the PNB and huffily announce, well, we looked and it's not there, and then have somebody say, you know, on page 952, lines 6 to 12, it's right there. So my motion is to postpone this to the next meeting.
And who is the we that's going to look
I'll
this
second.
Up? Second.
I'll look it up.
It doesn't need a second.
You should look it up. I will certainly be looking at it.
Okay, good. It doesn't require a second. So what's on the floor at the moment is to postpone this to the next meeting. I have Tracy and Bob on the stack. I'd like to let them speak, and then we can decide whether to postpone, if that's all right. And anyone who wants to speak to the question of postponement, please. Okay. Bob?
Yeah, well, actually, over the past few minutes since Roberts was first brought up, I have been checking in my hard copy of the book, and I've looked under every, what I think would be every conceivable index title, index subject, chair, meeting, committees, and there is nothing about cancellation of meetings. So, you know, I mean, I'm only one member, and I'm not opposed to postponing so other members can verify my checking, but I don't see it after a pretty thorough search. And I'm sorry, I did want to add something just for those who may not have recently read the article that from which this issue, the article of our bylaws from which this issue flows. No, this sentence, I think, was alluded to, but let me just read it. Meetings and actions of committees shall be governed by and held and taken in accordance with the provisions of Article 6 of these bylaws, with such changes in the context of those sections as are necessary to substitute the committee and its members for the board and its members, except that the time, and this is the key part relates to what we're talking about, except that the time of regular meetings of committees may be determined by resolution of the board as well as the committee. And then it goes on to talk about special committees or special meetings of the committee be called by resolution of the board, committee chair, or any two committee members, et cetera. So that part to me is pretty clear as to who can call it. And that suggests to me that since those are the only people who can call it, that no other authority has any or no other person or group of persons has any authority to cancel a meeting, except the committee itself, obviously, since the committee is the one that's empowered explicitly to set its own meeting times, or, of course, the PNB, always can intervene and cancel a meeting. But so I view this motion as simply an interpretation of Article 8. Article 8 about Article 8, Section 5, meetings and actions of committees. That's it.
Anyone else want to speak to postponing this? Well, let me say that I'm pretty familiar with Robert's Rules, and I don't know where there's anything else either. But if the committee wants to wait for a month to put this forward and actually have people check it out in greater detail, it's fine with me. Someone wanted to speak, I thought. I thought I heard a woman's voice. Okay.
No, Carolyn here. I was just seconding your motion, I assume, to postpone this.
Or to table what?
I was seconding your motion to table this to the next meeting.
Well, yes. It was actually Arpol's motion to postpone. Is there any objection to Arpol's motion to postpone till the next meeting? Okay. Hearing none, then it will be up on the agenda first at the next meeting. The next item on the agenda is the bylaws amendments that are being proposed, and also we added to it one that John would like to propose. The ones that I'm aware of are by Lydia, myself, and by Bill. Is anyone else here on the committee putting forth a bylaw change that should be... basically, my thought was we would announce what they were, and in my case, ask for support, and I think in Bill's case, ask for support on some of them. But it's not really up to the committee what it wants to do with that. So let me begin with the one that I'm proposing. It's actually passed by the committee already, so I'll say very little about it. It's the one that changes the period of notice from 60 days to 45 days, which changes the requirements for putting announcements on the air from two at indefinite times to two in prime time and one in late night. And it extends the time for when the PNBs and the LSBs have to meet to ratify or not the motion from one calendar month to 60 days. And so that one has been will be sent forth actually, hopefully tomorrow. I need one more signatory to that, one more PNB member who is willing to sign on that. Do I have anybody who's willing to do that? I mean, we passed this through the governance committee. I would hope I could get someone else to sign on for that from here. Well, hearing no one. Lydia,
yeah.
You had a couple,
yes.
I believe.
This is Lydia. Sorry, I couldn't unmute there for a minute. Did you have me on as a signer?
I have you on as a signer, yeah.
Oh, okay. Make some phone calls tomorrow, tonight.
Yes. Lydia, did you want to describe the bylaws changes you're putting forward?
Oh, okay. But I also wanted to mention that our timeline was approved at the PMB meeting.
Yes, that's right.
It passed, which says that the notice date is September 2nd, and then it will be noticed for 60 days on the websites, all the stations, and the Pacifica website. Show announcements about those will be made twice a day for 60 days. And then on November 1st, the PMB will vote on it, on the bylaws amendments proposed. And if passed, then it goes on to the LSEs to vote on them, for the delegate assemblies to vote on it within the next 30 days, in that same month, rather.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm putting forward, and I have enough directors signed on, for two bylaws amendment. One changes the wording from the mandatory four in-person meetings a year to a range of between 2 and 4. It allows us the flexibility for difficult years like we had last year and this year. It also does away with having to have a meeting at the end of January and then have another one in March, which puts a tremendous strain on staff and the foundation in terms of finances. But anyway, so that's one bylaws amendment. The other one is to, instead of having 2 town hall meetings organized by the LSB, that the which doesn't mean they can't, the required number would be
200.
Plus one fundraiser organized by the LSB. So those are the two that I have put forward and have already sent to be posted.
This phone has got kind of squirrely, so if you aren't muted, please do so. Bill, you had several.
Yeah, they're basically the... They're like the three that I brought up last month, and I sent those out to the list. Let's see, I forget exactly when. This evening again, I sent it to the Gov list, and I see it did go through. But the one on reducing the size of the LSBs, I did change to make it effective after the delegate elections next year, not this year. So it would be over a year before it take effect. And then there's the one on reducing the size of the PNB, and there's one on reducing the size of the committees. It goes a little beyond John's. It reduces the size of most of them to 10. But you can read it and see there's, you know, I'm trying to not change any more language than necessary in the existing bylaws, but it would basically mean one director and one non-director LSB member on those committees. And also it would change some of the standing committees in the defined in the bylaws to task forces. So we wouldn't have the quorum requirements.
Okay.
Word of information?
Sure, go ahead.
Are those all bundled together, or will the LSB be allowed to vote on those atomically for those changes?
That doesn't work.
I'm sorry, Paul, you have the floor. John, I'll put you on the stack.
Okay. Fast question is, you're saying that what's in this PDF, you've already got the other directors to sign on for, so this is going to the PNB?
No, I need some more directors to sign on to all three of them. I haven't been very diligent about that.
John, you got a point of information?
The question is, are all those changes bundled into one or two amendments, or will the LSBs be allowed to vote on the various items atomically? I would prefer that, I think.
Bill?
They'll all be voted on individually. Each amendment will be voted on separately by the PNB, and then separately, and the ones that are approved by the PNB, that will be voted on separately by each delegate assembly, which is essentially the same as the LSBs.
Carolyn on the staff, please.
And Lydia, I have a question.
Okay. Carolyn is for the stack. Is that a point of information, Lydia, or do you want to?
No. I can be on the stack. I just want to ask Bill a question.
Okay, Carolyn.
Yeah, I guess this is a point of information. Are we discussing these one by one now, or are they up for a vote, or what is the procedure?
You can, I scheduled it as basically announcements, and you can ask about any of them.
Well, could we do them one by one? I think that might be more orderly. I don't want to address all of them, but I do want to address some of them.
Doing them, there's nothing really to do. I was just announcing them, but I mean, certainly if you have questions about any one of them, go ahead and make them.
Well, why are they on this committee? Are we going to vote them before we pass them on to the PNB, or are we just ignoring them? I mean, what is the role with these? Why aren't we discussing these and bringing them to a vote?
The reason is that the period for doing that, they're supposed to be submitted. And We've been talking about these all along, but in fact, it was done in order to develop a consensus, not because we had to do it. The only requirement is that six directors support the motion, so it's not something that our vote really affects, other than we were discussing it, as I said, to try to develop some consensus on these things. If the committee would like to use this time to extend discussion on any of them, and if you want to make a motion to vote on any of them, I suppose you can, but it doesn't really affect how they go into how they get into the hopper, so to speak, for the PNB. That just requires six members.
Thank you. I would like to discuss the one motion to reduce the number of in-person meetings.
Go ahead, Karen. Make whatever comment you want.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's dangerous, and I would like to not change the bylaws at all in that regard. We do have a means of reducing the number of meetings, as we've already shown, because we've done it, when our finances will not permit, or for whatever reason. So there's no need to reduce them. I consider this, frankly, I put this in the same category as voter suppression. I think it's important for us to get together. Work gets done. We do much more when we're together than we would over two or three or four teleconferences. It's much more efficient. It may seem expensive, but actually we do get some work done. And it's an important point because sometimes people never get to meet new members of PNB until months after they've been talking online and so on. They have no face-to-face contact because they've come on, or meeting has been canceled or delayed or postponed, or the member has come on late. So I would like not to tamper with the bylaws in that regard. There's a fail-safe mechanism. If we need to cancel the meeting because we can't afford it, we can always do that. That's quite legal and it's legitimate. But there's no need to require us to reduce the number of meetings. I think those meetings are absolutely invaluable, and I think people who don't want other members to get together and caucus and talk to each other, it's not the same thing as being online. We talk over a period of a day, and then the next day, and then there's coffee, and then there's breakfast, and we can change each other's minds and consider positions and argue them. It's extremely valuable, so I would like not to change. I would urge people not to want to change that particular part of the bylaws. Four meetings, if we can't afford it, we'll do three. If we can't afford those, we'll do two. But there's no need to dumb us down, require us to cancel meetings before it's necessary. I think four is legitimate and terribly useful. Thank you.
Lydia.
I wanted to ask Bill if what were the committees that you are recommending that be made into task force status instead? And is there some wording in your motion that defines what a task force is? We have working groups, we have task forces, and we do have open meeting requirements, so we can decide something is one way, but, you know, is it in line with CPB? Because my idea would have been to just remove them as standing committees, but...
Bill? Well, the language, the actual language doesn't mention, of the amendment doesn't mention task forces. I don't believe, I'm trying to remember now. It just removes them from being listed as standing committees.
Yeah, but which ones was my?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Governance. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I'm blanking out here now. technology and programming. I'm sorry. Technology and programming will be the ones to be removed from the list of standing committees. So they could be designated as task forces by the PNB. They would be up to the PNB, just like they've done for development and affiliates.
And I'm sorry, and what happens to development and affiliates also?
They're not changed because they're already task forces.
Oh, right, okay. So they're not in there. Just you're just
right.
Reducing technology and programming. And are those two separate amendments, or are they all in one? So if you agree with one, you have to vote for the whole thing.
The one on committees is all in one amendment. So it basically removes technology and programming from the list of standing committees in the bylaws. Bear in mind there's some other committees defined by the PNV that are not in the bylaws that include personnel and sexism and racism and elections. And so it wouldn't affect those, except that one provision in this amendment would, for all committees that aren't otherwise specified, it would have only one director and one delegate who's not a director on each one to reduce their size to 10.
Okay, now that I have the clarity, my comment is that my hesitation is that I would support the technology committee not being a standing committee. I mean, since the beginning of time, I don't think it's met quorum. But and also because it's very specialized, you could have five people from one particular signal area that would be best equipped to be on that committee, or in this case, task force. But programming, I think that needs to remain a standing committee. I don't know how you could be a radio network and not have a standing committee on programming. So for that reason, if they were separate amendments, I would vote for the one but not for the other.
Well, I'm open to changes still. It's kind of late, but your main objection is changing the designation of programming from a standing committee.
Bill, this was intended basically for information and comments, so I think you can get together with Lydia afterwards and hash that out if you want to change it. John Wenger, you had a bylaws amendment that you're planning on submitting?
Bob, could I just ask something about the previous amendment?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, so it's pursuing what Lydia is saying. So in the case of your amendment, Bill, would you consider, and I think it would be a good practice for any amendment that has multiple parts, to submit them in such a way that the separate parts can be voted on separately, so that some pieces may succeed and some may fail, rather than forcing all the delegates to, you know, have an all or nothing vote.
Which parts are we talking about? Like the two that are just extending committees?
Yeah, like what Lydia gave the example, but also the question of the size of the committees versus which ones are standing committees. That, you know, maybe some people would want to support reducing the size but not support reducing the number of committees, or vice versa.
Okay, I see. Yeah, maybe I'll talk to you later. That might make sense.
Any other comments before we get to John on previous?
John has a comment on that very question.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Yeah, earlier I asked a question, you know, which was basically the same thing that Bob asked. Maybe it wasn't clear, but I asked, you know, are you sending these things in as a bundle, or can we vote on the items atomically, individually? I strongly want to be able to do that. I, as an LSB member, will vote no for the bundles, just because the complexity is not predictable, and I don't like unforeseen consequences. And so I just think I hope you agree with Bob's suggestion to submit the items atomically, so we can vote on them as individual atomic items.
Okay, he's referring to that last amendment.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Point of information?
Yes.
This is for Lydia. I didn't see your amendment. Did you post it to the committee?
No, I didn't.
Is that possible? Are you at a committee?
It is possible, and I can do that right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else before we get to John?